Good morning. The word baptize is from the Greek word baptizo, and the word baptism is from the Greek word baptisma or baptismos. Together, they're found 100 times in the New Testament. Thayer's lexicon lists 3 primary meanings of the word baptize: to dip repeatedly, to emerge or submerge, to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, or metaphorically, to overwhelm. Of those 100 times, 14 are found in the 4 gospel accounts of the one time Jesus used the word figuratively to refer to the overwhelming sufferings of his life. Matthew's account in chapter 20, verse 22, tells of Jesus asking his disciples, "Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" One other time the word is used figuratively in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2 in reference to Moses and the Israelites. There it says, "And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." 6 times the word is used in connection with the Holy Spirit. 4 of those are found in the various gospel accounts: Matthew 3 verse 11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, and John 1 verse 33. Where John the Baptist speaks of his baptism in water compared to the time that Christ will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The other 2 are found in the book of Acts and clarify what John was talking about. In Acts 1, verse 5, Jesus told his apostles shortly before the day of Pentecost, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The fulfillment of that takes place in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 when Peter and the others are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Notice this baptism was not performed by men but by God Himself from above. The only other time this occurs is in Acts chapter 10 and 11. There the Gentiles are also given the gift of speaking in tongues for the purpose of convincing the Jewish brethren that proclaiming the gospel message to the Gentiles was indeed God's will. Peter says in Acts 11, verses 15 and 16, "The Holy Spirit fell on them just as He did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how He said, 'John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" The phrase "at the beginning" refers to the gift of speaking in other tongues that first occurred on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. This, too, was a baptism performed not by men, but by God. You can also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Baptism of the Holy Spirit should not then be confused with the common practice of baptism in the days of the early church. The remaining 79 times show by context or lack of anything contrary to it that the word baptize or baptism refers to being immersed in water, the primary and literal meaning of the word. John the Baptist stated over and over that his baptism was in water. In fact, John 3:23 says that he was baptizing in Enon near Salem because there was much water there. In Mark 1:9 and 10, "When Jesus was baptized by John, they both went into the Jordan River and came up out of the water." In Acts 8:38 and 39, Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and then both came up out of the water. Romans 6:4 and Colossians 2 verse 12 speak of being buried with him through or in baptism. Note also that Peter in 1 Peter 3:20 and 21 compares baptism to the water of the flood. Notice also that these baptisms are also performed by men's hands, not directly from above. That only occurred 2 times, once for the Jews in Acts 2, and once for the Gentiles in Acts 10. Also notice that the 2 occasions of the Holy Spirit baptism were fulfillments of promises, while baptism in water is a command. Around 63 or 64 A.D., long after the church began on the day of Pentecost, about 33 A.D., Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:4-6, "There is one body and one spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through and in all." Which baptism is this? Was it spirit baptism performed by the Lord that was intended then to continue for all ages? Or was it water baptism performed by men? It can't be both. Only one is now operational. We read about 2 specific instances of spirit baptism, but never again is it mentioned. But look at Matthew chapter 28:19-20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now this was baptism in water to be performed by men. To whom was it to be performed? To all nations. For how long? Well, apparently always, to the end of the age. Regardless of what people believe about the purpose of baptism, the New Testament, with the exceptions noted above, uses the word to refer to being immersed in water. It is the water baptism that is commanded throughout all of time for all people. Note also that the idea of sprinkling or pouring is foreign to Scripture and to the inerrant meaning of the word baptize. John 3, verse 1 tells of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, coming to Jesus. He professed his belief in Jesus, acknowledging that no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Verse 2. Jesus, apparently seeing his interest in the kingdom, told Nicodemus in verse 3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus takes Jesus' statement literally, as he apparently thought of how a fleshly birth introduces one into this fleshly world. But Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual one and is entered by means of a spiritual birth. As Jesus describes in verse 5, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Most scholars today believe that Jesus was speaking here of baptism. Perhaps Nicodemus was familiar with the practice of baptizing proselytes. Gentiles who wished to practice the Jewish religion were, in a sense, born again. Lightfoot explains it this way. As soon as he grows whole of the wound of circumcision, they bring him to baptism, and being placed in the water, they again instruct him in some weightier and in some lighter commands of the law, which being heard, he plunges himself and comes up, and, behold, he is an Israelite in all things. Nicodemus was perhaps also familiar with the baptism being administered by John the Baptist. Jesus certainly was and states that one must be born again, not only of water, as John had been doing, but also of the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said that they would receive not only the forgiveness of sins when they were baptized, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit. Numerous passages in the New Testament speaks of the Holy Spirit dwelling within a person after he or she has been born again. See 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19, and 12:13. A related passage is Titus 3, verse 5, where Paul said, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. The word washing is from the Greek word lutron, which refers to, according to Thayer's lexicon, the act of bathing and is used here in the New Testament and in other writings to refer to baptism. The word regeneration is from a Greek word which is taken from two root words meaning born and again. Paul's statement here indicate a strong connection between washing, water, baptism, and being born again, just as Jesus seems to in John 3, verse 5. Paul says that salvation and righteousness comes not by our own good deeds, but that God has ordained it to come, at least in part, through baptism. It is at that point, he says, that we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. There are numerous places in the New Testament that refer to baptism. In Matthew 28 and 19, Jesus commanded his disciples to go and baptize all nations. In Mark 16:16, Jesus says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In Acts 2:38, as already mentioned, after the people asked what they needed to do, Peter said, Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says, Those who received his word were baptized, and there were about 3,000 souls then added to the church. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias told Saul, Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The Bible teaches that salvation is only through Christ, the Son of God, John 14 and verse 6, and 1 John 5:11 through 13. It also teaches that we put Christ on through baptism. In Galatians 3:27, Paul says, All of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul reminds Christians in Romans 6:3-4, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. He says that just as Christ died, was buried, and was raised again, so also we, through baptism, are raised to walk in newness of life. Notice Paul does not say that baptism is symbolic of salvation. It is not our reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is, in fact, God's reenacting such in us as He gives us, at that point, a brand new life in Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully to Colossians 2:12-13. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. 1 Corinthians 12:13 teaches the same thing. By one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Just as Paul said to the Romans, it is at that point of baptism that we come into the body or church of Christ. 1 Peter 3:20-21, Peter, speaking of Noah and the ark, says, in the ark a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. And corresponding to that, or the like figure, whereunto baptism does also now save us. Not the removing of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, I must close for now, but next week we'll look at what the Bible says about the purpose of baptism. If you have any questions, would you please let us know? And until next week, may God bless and keep you.